Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the House of the Lord. We are excited that you're here with us. We are looking forward to this weekend. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we are going to celebrate our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to remember those who have served to give us that freedom to do so. And so this morning, as we gather around our TVs and computer screens and our cell phones to worship together, we just want to thank you for being here and enjoying this time with us. And the words are on the screen over here. You can focus in on that and worship with us as we are led in song by the group today. So let's go before the Lord in prayer and get things started this morning. Father God, I thank you so much for this day that we have set aside to come together and to worship. This time is so important as a family of believers to worship together. And we are looking forward to the day when we will be in the same room together and not just connecting digitally across our county and across our state and around the world, but we will be together again in this building. But the beautiful thing that you've promised us is where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there with them. And so, Lord, we welcome you into our presence, and we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for all those who have sacrificed and served to make this day possible for us that we can worship you. And we thank you for all that you're doing right now to bring us back together through the leadership of our church as well as our country. And we just ask that you would do so quickly because Lord, you have said that our hearts are prone to wander. And we want to make sure that we focus our hearts and our attention on you. So this morning we come to do that through worship and the word. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we get to pray, and all God's people said, amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet calls, oh, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Like the sun, at the trumpet call.
Good morning, everyone. This is a unique day in which we celebrate. It's Memorial Day weekend, and part of the Memorial Day festivities are this service. This is as exciting as we get this year, as it seems that things have drastically changed for us. It's a little disheartening, and it's a little discouraging, but I want to encourage you with the fact that God is still in control, that God still reigns from on high. He still loves each and every one of us, and He will sustain and maintain us through these days and many more ahead that are going to be probably just like it. But the great thing is that we together are going to worship Him today through His Word. So let's go before Him in prayer this morning. Father God, I thank You so much for this great day that You've given to us. No matter what's going on around us, it doesn't have to stop us from being together with You. So we come before You today to look at Your Word and to examine the days that in which we live and to examine ourselves in such a way that we take note of who we are and who You are. And we just ask that You would be with our country, that You would be with our world, that You would be with the people of this state and this county, that You would be with the people of this community. As this Memorial Day weekend, things are not business as usual. Be with those who have lost loved ones serving in the wars. Be with those who have sacrificed so much so that we could be free. But may we never forget the One who has sacrificed everything so that we could be free from sin and death and part of Your family forever. And His wonderful name is Jesus. It's in His precious name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I wrote this Memorial Day 2020 message called Lest We Forget. This is Memorial Day weekend. In years past, we would have been having cookouts, going to parades, and listening to speeches from notable soldiers. Tomorrow, the VFW would be having a breakfast at the high school, and the band would play their military songs, and countless men and women would stand up when they heard the song of their particular branch played, and they would stand, and we would cheer and salute them. We would take time to remember those who have given so much for us to be free. We would have taken the time to remember those who have fallen fighting against our enemies, and the enemies of freedom, both home, at home and abroad. We'd have taken the time to honor those who have fought valiantly to bring down tyrannical governments, dictators, and power-hungry leaders, and in the process laid down their lives to do so. We'd be taking time to honor our Gold Star mom, Margie Mummert, who lost her son and Alan in Vietnam. We'd be able to gather together and celebrate and have car shows and go to Mayfest and get rained on. Or not. We could even choose to stay home and not do a single thing because we are free to do so. But this year it seems we have no choice in the matter. This year, an invisible enemy, and in my opinion, political agendas and media-driven fear have taken away our ability to choose for ourselves what we will do this Memorial Day weekend. For the first time since around 1866 or 1868, it depends on who you talk to, we will not be celebrating Memorial Day as a community of free men and women gathering to honor those men and women who fearlessly gave all because we are afraid. We are told we cannot. We are told we will not, for we are not safe, free, or entitled to do so. It is as if we have given up the freedoms that so many have fought and died for to secure for us. And I wonder what those who died in the trenches and in the jungles, in the cold and in the heat, in typhoid and disease and pestilence filled backwards around the globe would think of this moment in history in which we now live. Someday we will hear their take on what we have surrendered during these days. And I'm hoping this does not start a trend for us where we find ourselves forgetting all that we have been so blessed with. I also hope the fight to regain those freedoms do not become battles that have been fought to secure them the first time around. So let us take a moment of silence to remember those who have given so much to make us free, men and women, here in this wonderful land in which we live. Father God, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son who set us free from sin, from death, and from hell forevermore. We thank you for those who gave everything to ensure freedom here in this place which we call home, in this nation in which we live and around the world. May we never forget those things and the price that was paid so we might be free. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. As you can tell, I'm a bit tired of this current state of affairs we have found ourselves in. We would normally be gathered here together this morning to have a moment of silence, say the Pledge of Allegiance, thank our veterans and their families for all that they have sacrificed and made possible for us. Instead of gathering together, we are separated from each other, socially distanced from each other. Instead of worshiping together, we are watching on TVs and cell phones and computer screens. And there's an old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But you know, this will be the weirdest thing you'll ever hear me say. I miss your faces. Yeah, even Ralph Giese's face. I miss Ralph's face. I miss your off-key singing. I even miss the way some of you look at me and shake your heads with disdain when I say things that are silly, stupid, and off the cuff. I miss watching some of you fall asleep in the pews. At least you were here to fall asleep. I miss being encouraged by a bunch of everyday, ordinary people gathering together to worship an extraordinary God who has made us a family. What a motley crew we are. When we're together, it's the biggest hodgepodge you ever met, but it's worse when we are apart. When we gather together, there's no room to forget the greatness and the grace of our God when He loves and He forgives and saves wretches like you. Oh, and me too. It's evident when you see the people that gather in this place. Gathering together to worship and thank the Lord God Almighty is what keeps us from forgetting Him and all He is and all He has done and how He is able to save to the uttermost, the utter worst. But I don't know if you know it or not, but it is possible for the people of God to forget Him. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. But I have found that absence makes His followers prone to wander. God knows this about His people. Absence makes the followers of God wander. Right after delivering them from slavery in Egypt and revealing Himself to them through miracles and signs and wonders and providing them with food when they were hungry and water when they were dying of thirst, He gave them this warning through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands and the decrees and the laws the Lord God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. God wants to be center stage in His people's lives. He wants to be lifted up continually as the most important force, thing, person in their lives. And He says, even write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know, when you've got the Lord is the Lord, the King of the universe written above your door, it's not hard to find out those who love God when you walk through the neighborhood. But unfortunately, sometimes we begin to forget. And you have to ask yourself the question, why would He feel the need to tell His people all those things? Why would He say, teach your kids, teach your grandkids and your great-grandkids all about me? Make sure that the word of my mouth is in your mind and your hearts and your walls and everywhere you turn. I think the great hymn, Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings, sums it up well. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. And then it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above. You see, ladies and gentlemen, even we know that our hearts are prone to wander from God if we're left alone too long. That we can turn our backs on Him and walk away at a moment's notice. There are people that are worried that when the doors do open, that the people will not come back to the church. There are people hoping that people don't go back to the church. Because if people who claim to love God fail to go back to the church and to be the church together and worship God together, it will be easy for them to be picked off and to end up in lesser places. And we'll all be crippled. And we'll be weakened. And we will wander further. A wandering heart is no new thing for us. It actually is like a runaway's heart. Like a kid in foster care who runs from home after home after home because they can never call it their own. Because it's never really their home unless they accept it and choose to stay and make it a home. And so it is with our heavenly home. Many have entered in and many have wandered away. And the decision to stay takes place every day, to shelter at home with Him, And it's a tough choice because our old lives call to us to come back. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12 says, "When the Lord your God brings you into a land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you, the land with large flourishing cities, you did not build houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then you will eat and be satisfied. But be careful that you don't forget the Lord, who brought you up out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery." You see, ladies and gentlemen, God was warning the Israelites back then, just as they had come out, they could still see and smell Egypt. And he's warning them, when you get to where I'm taking you, it's going to be so good, but it's going to be so easy to forget about me. And you know, sometimes when the hard times are there, sometimes we want to be where we can't be. It's amazing to listen to people. They're going, "When are we going to open the doors of the church? When are we going to open the doors of the church? I want to be in church. I want to be in church." That's good to hear. That excites me that people want to be here, but not everybody's singing that tune. Sometimes it's wanting what we don't have that causes us to walk away from God. But sometimes it's having everything we want that causes us to walk away from God as well. See, when Israel was in slavery, they sought him out. They cried out to him. They were pleading with him constantly for 400 years. They got angry. They yelled, saying, "Where's God? Why has he not delivered us?" But he was always there, and they knew it. They kept crying out about the injustice of their situation to God. They looked for him, they waited for him, and they desired him to come and to rescue. That is why when he delivers and he provides and he secures and he blesses, and things are going easy and things are going good, we don't look so hard for him, do we? It's in times of plenty that our heart and our love grows faint. We forget him and our need of him. And that's why he keeps warning Israel and us as well over and over again. Because it started in chapter 6 and we're into chapter 8. He says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful you don't forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving to you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. He's the one who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you and you may say to yourself," he says, you may end up saying to yourself, "my power, my strength, and my hands have produced all this for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Just as he promised, I will make you great. I will do these things for you, in you, and through you. He warns, don't forget me, because it's going to be easy to do so." See, ladies and gentlemen, all that we have and all that we are is due to the Lord and his love and compassion for us. It has all been provided for us and can vanish from us in an instant. That is why we must take time daily, weekly, hourly to remember him. I know many, if not all of us, have said, "We will never forget the Lord. We will never forget His love and all that He has done for us. But ladies and gentlemen, better men than us have failed Him. More faithful women have been distracted by lesser things than we have. Peter in John chapter 13 says, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you can't come right now, but you're going to come later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus, being Jesus, says, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times, Peter." And we know the rest of his story. Jesus was right about Peter. And he's right about us as well. We are all prone to wander. We can all deny him. No matter what our mouth says, sometimes our hearts and our lives do difference. There's an old saying about motorcycle riders. It's not a matter of if you're going to lay your bike down. It's a matter of when. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, that is true for each and every person who claims to follow Jesus Christ. There will come a time when the option to lay it down and set it aside or hide it under a bushel will come our way. There will come a time when others are turning their back to God and walking straight away, and He's going to look at us and He's going to say, "Do you want to leave me too?" And we are in just as much danger as everyone else who has been blessed enough to know the Lord. And you know, we've had it good and we've had it easy. We've been propped up by His strength and we've been provided by Him for so long. And sometimes I really think we are mistaking it for our abilities. But there will come a gentle breeze. There'll come a little fear. Maybe it'll be a little girl's voice saying, "Weren't you at church over there on the hill one time?" There'll be a powerful voice saying, "Deny him or die." There'll be voices like in the Old Testament, "Bow to me and worship or die." But will we be bold enough to stand and say, "Far it be from me to deny my Lord"? See, ladies and gentlemen, when those moments come, remember whose strength will enable you to stand. You see, Jesus made it pretty clear how we are able to stand in John chapter 10. He says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. For I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock, it gets scattered, and the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have the sheep that are not of the sheep pen, but I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, because I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This is the command I received from my Father." See, the beautiful thing about Jesus is as we remember him this Memorial Day, we remember the great sacrifice that he made on the cross for our sins. That he laid down his life, he shed his blood willingly for you and for me. He did it so that we could have life to the full and we could spend eternity with him. You see, it was the Father's will that in Jesus' love and devotion to his Father and his relentless love for us that enabled him to lay down his life for us. He laid it down so that we would be saved and secured through him. He did it because he loved his Father, but also because he loves all 10 of you. Don't ever forget that. He loves you. And you are to love him with everything you've got. Don't ever forget the sacrifice he made. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. That's what he came to do, because he wanted you to see God's great love for you. And right now, we've got a dear friend who is waiting to see that love realized. He served faithfully. He's walked faithfully. He's tired. And in the near future, he will be greeted by his Savior. It'll be a day in eternity that he will never forget. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember those who have sacrificed to set you free, whether it be from sin and hell and death or from slavery, whether on a cross or a battlefield, on the front lines or the bread lines, never forget and never stop being thankful for those who have laid their life down so that you can live yours. Jesus died to set you free from sin and death. Now live that new life you have in him to the full. Countless men and women have given their lives to ensure your freedom and to allow you to follow him or not. So live out that freedom and never look back. But also, we must never forget that as a person created in the image of God, we have the right and we have the responsibility to worship and follow him freely. And it's up to you and it's up to I to honor him with every breath we take. People are asking, when will we open up the door to this place to worship Jesus together? I hope soon, very soon. And when we do, I expect the people of God to be here with the joy of his salvation on our faces and the praise of our Savior and King on our lips. So I leave you here today with a reminder from an old servant of God named Joshua. In Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15, he's wrapping up everything for his life. He's getting set to spend that last little bit of time he has with his family. He addresses the crowd one last time. And this old man says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve. Whether those gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You see, he had seen something. He had seen God sacrifice and lay down before him great things over and over and over again. And those little idols, they had done nothing. Those little things on the other side of the river, he saw God defeat. And he said, as for me and my house, we're going to continue to remember and worship and serve the Lord God Almighty. My hope is that you and I will choose to do the same thing. Do what you feel is necessary so that you don't forget the Lord and all of his goodness towards you. Forget not the Lord and all of his tender mercies. Forget not the Lord and all of his discipline. Forget not the Lord and his word, which brings you life and joy and peace. forget not the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you. We know that all that we are and all that we have comes from you. Because we are your children, we are your people. May we never forget you and what you've done. Continue to work in our lives, and may we worship you completely every minute of every day. Get these doors open as quick as you can, Lord. Continue to work in the hearts of good men and women to make it possible for us to worship freely here again. And Lord, may we honor you with more than our lips. May we honor you with our lives. And may we never forget what a privilege it is to be called your children. And it's all because of you, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, that we pray. Amen.
Is all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today and worshiping the Lord. Don't forget to take the time this weekend, if you have a veteran in your life, to thank them for who they are and what they've done. But also make sure you spend some time thanking the Lord for what He has done in your life and how He's opened the door so that you could have a personal relationship with Him. It is an incredible thing that we can worship the God who created the universe and everything in it. And He created each one of us so that we could have a relationship with Him, and I hope you have that. And if you have, exercise it to the fullest. However you can, worship Him this weekend. And take the opportunity, if you can, to just show Him your appreciation and your thanks. One of the great ways that you can do that is partnering with the church and saying, God, thank you for what you've blessed us with, because everything we have comes from you, and part of what you've received as far as your income is considered a tithe to Him. So if you can, and you contribute and help out in that way, send it on in to P.O. Box 72 here in Mount Carroll, to the Mount Carroll Church of God, and we'll put it to good use helping the people in this community and around the world. So have a great weekend, and thank you for being here this morning. See you next week.